4:18. Yeah, 4:18. Now, we're studying secrets from Genesis. Do you have any questions? Do you have a Bible question or any question at all?
Well,
yes.
I was thinking today, just the similar names in Cain's line and then Seth's.
That's right. The devil always copies the Lord, doesn't he? The devil always copies the Lord. He is a imitator. We have true preachers and we have the devil's preachers, don't we? And actually, we have a lot more devil's preachers than we do truth preachers. We got the true religion and we got the devil's religions. And I preached yesterday on parables. Parable of parables. Parables of parables. But Brother Brett got up and did a testimony before that. He talked about his experience in talking in tongues. He used to talk in tongues all the time. But he finally realized after he started reading the Bible that this spirit that was leading talking in tongues was of the dark side. He talked about coming to my class 16, 17 years ago. And the first time he saw me preach, I was sitting down because I couldn't stand up. And I had an IV running in me and a catheter running out of me. And he came in there and he smiled because Bill invited him there because Brett had read the Bible 20-something times and he was all just full and ready to preach. And when he saw me sitting there like that, he said, "Well, Lord, you led me right in here. He's getting ready to die right now. And I'm right in here. I'm going to be able to take over. I'll just help. Just help me do it, Lord." After about 6 months of that, he realized he didn't know anything about the Bible at all. And then he began to learn. That's when you begin to learn, when you realize you don't know anything. Yeah. Now, to people, you might look at me as an advanced theologian and everything, and some people say I'm one of the greatest living theologians in the world because I'm old and about to wear out. But I'm learning. Every day I'm learning. We're learning. Do you have a question? Do you have a question, Brother Ray?
Well, I read that on this year, but it was just something I was reading about, you know, the other study on the tabernacle and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So there was one, I didn't understand it, that there was a sacrifice, but you couldn't put it on the altar because it had leaven in it.
Yes.
Is that refreshing?
There was a heave offering of bread.
Right.
And it was an offering with leaven in it. Now that just sounds completely out of order, doesn't it?
It just
blows your mind because why is this here? Well, did Jesus dwell in flesh?
Yes.
He did. It was human flesh. Now it's human flesh, but without sin. Now that offering couldn't go on the altar, could it?
No.
Nope. Jesus was without sin. No other man would ever be able to go to die for anybody else. There's a lot of people in the army, especially in the Navy, the Marines and all that. They die for each other. They give their lives for each other. That's the highest form of bravery and valor that you can get. And they usually get the Congressional Medal of Honor or whatever after they're dead, posthumously. But no human with sin in his veins can atone for your sins. Buddha can't do it. Not Charles Taze Russell. Not Muhammad. No one else. Because they are sinful. There's only one offering. Now, as we study God's Word, we can learn. And the Lord gives us great joy when we learn something, doesn't he? Have you ever been so joyed that you just jumped up and started shouting, Brother Ray? When you learned something in the Word of God, you just jumped up and, wow! Wow, I never saw this before. Marilyn? You've said that quite a few times. You know, her prayer was that God would send somebody in her life that would, she wanted to get married for one thing. She liked Indians and cowboys. And she wanted to learn more about the Bible. Well, when we first got married, she wanted to go to church on Sunday morning, and that was all. That was enough. She didn't know any better than that. And I had to drag her there. That's enough. We got other things to do besides go to church. Because she didn't know any better. But as she learned years after, over years and time, you just can't hardly get church enough, can you, Brother Ray?
Mm-hmm.
We used to have church almost every day at New Hope, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And this is New Hope again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that offering, that leavened offering, was an offering like we give to the Lord, don't we? We're not sinless, are we?
Mm-hmm.
Our rewards, and it was an offering, wasn't it? An offering. This is the type of our offerings in our lives. We are sinners. We're saved by grace. But what we do for the Lord, for really hit that reason for Him only, we will be rewarded for it. It is a debt that He owes us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like that heave offering there. Do you have any other questions, Sharon?
Mm-hmm.
Marilyn? Vincent?
No, I just wanted to make a remark. I found out there was a whole lot more to learn.
Yes, you did.
And I'm still learning.
Yes. She gets all excited. I always ask her to pray in Nevada before I pray that I will preach good, that I won't have any lapse. Sometimes my mind just goes blank because I have these problems, these TIAs and things. And she prayed for me and just started crying. And just the greatest prayer I ever heard her pray.
Amen.
Praying that God would use me and that people would give me great respect, even up there in Fish Lake Valley, that they'll realize what they got.
Amen.
You know, they never realized what they had before because I never did tell them. Let them figure it out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in the book of Genesis, the book of secrets. There's a lot of secrets in this. And tonight we're going to learn some things about some bad people. We're studying bad people. Bad ones. This is the line of mankind. This is man. The line of the Antichrist, so to speak. Cain. Now, they thought he was going to be Christ, didn't they? They thought he was going to be the Savior. We have gotten the man, Et Jehovah. Well, he didn't turn out to be Jehovah, did he? The one who shall become. Let's start off here in verse number 18. Here we have a bouquet of evil. A bouquet of evil. Why, Yaled? Why, Yaled? La Chanuk. Et Irad. We Irad. Yelad. Et Mucheel. Yumecheel. Yelad. Et Metusheel. Yumetheshuel. Yelad. Et Lamech. And was birthed to Enoch. Enoch means what?
Teacher.
What did this Enoch teach? He taught evil. He taught evil. Now, I want you to read the book of Enoch, the other Enoch. I want you to read that book, and he'll tell you all the wicked things that these people did. He'll tell you what they did. And we're going to be exposed to some of it now. And to Enoch, Et Jared. Jared means descending. Descending. That means going downhill. Descending. Now, on the other line, we have the first 10 names, which we'll get him from Adam. We're going to find out it preaches the gospel. The Lord of heaven descended and came down to earth to save our souls. There we have the word descending. And then Jared, he begat Mehuyael. Mehuyael. And that means what? God is fighting. God is striking with you. You're having a battle with God. They were battling God. These people hated God and they battled God. They constantly fought God. Sounds like Israel, doesn't it? Does it not? The whole story just keeps on repeating itself, doesn't it? Over and over and over again. And then Mehujael, he begat Methuselah. Methuselah means struck by God or man of the dark. It's not like Methuselah. It's made from the same roots, so to speak. Now, this guy's born about 3800 B.C. according to one chronology. How accurate that is, we do not know. And then it says, and Methuselah, he begat Lamech. Lamech, now, Lamech is what? What does he mean? What does his name mean?
Warrior.
Rebel?
Warrior.
Warrior? Wild man? Overthrower? All right, overthrower. It also means a king, doesn't it? On the other side, it means king. Now, how does a king get to be king?
By fighting.
How does a prince? Sayer. Look at this word. Sayer. What word do we have from Sayer? Sarai. Sarai and Sarah. Sarai. What does Sarai actually mean?
Sharon,
you Marilyn, what?
Somebody that wants to fight.
Contentious.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that wants to contend and fight all the time. Did she live up to her name? I think so. Somebody wanting to fight all the time. All right, now, Lamech kind of means like that. It means a king. Lamech. Adonai ha-Adonaiim, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We look at him as our Jesus, don't we? Now, Jesus fought legally, and he fought fair, did he not? Did Jesus use any of his supernatural powers while he was on here on this earth before he died on the cross of Calvary? Did he use any of his supernatural powers?
Mm-hmm.
No, he did not.
Mm-hmm.
He said he laid them aside.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is the one that empowered him to do all those miracles.
Right.
That's why he told Israel,
mm-hmm,
you can say anything you want against the Son of Man, but when you talk about against the miracles that I produced, that's by God the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Ruah Elohim. And he said, when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you shall not be forgiven. Were they forgiven? They all died, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They all died and went to hell. Where they belonged. Where they belonged. All right, 419. Wayikach. Lo. Lamech. Shiteh. Now we have polygamy. It didn't come in the faith line. It comes over here in the line of man. Nashim. Shem. Ha'ashah. Ha'ashah. Adah. Wishem. Hashanit. Zilah. And he took for himself. Third person master, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and person. He kept on taking for himself. He kept on knowing his wives. He kept on intimately knowing them over and over and over again. And he took for himself Lamech, wild man, rebel, overthrower, king and lord also in this name. Two, Sheti, two. And that means to divide, to make more than one. How many wives did God want us to have?
One.
All right. Why did God allow the children of Israel to have more than one wife?
I don't know.
What did Jesus say about it? because of the hardness of their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed it. Now, in the New Testament, deacons and pastors are to be a man of what? One woman men. In other words, the churches aren't going to have to support a man with two or three wives or four wives or whatever. One wife. One wife. A man of one wife. And Lamech took for himself two Isha. The word Isha, that's the root of this word. It's Nashim. Nashim. Two wives, two women. Shem, that means name. Of the one, belonging to the one, Ha'ashath. Ada. You ever know anybody named Ada? I know there's a place in Ada, Oklahoma. Ada. Ada in the Hebrew language means an ornament. It means beautiful.
I know Ada, she's an Asian worker over at Home Depot, but it's spelled different. It's A-I, A...
Aisha?
A, something like that. It starts with
A. Aisha. A lot of black people, the women that are Muslims, call them, they name their children Aisha. You know why?
No.
Muhammad's youngest wife, 5 years old, was Aisha. From his number one follower, which was Abu Bakr. He married that girl when she was 5 years old, and he took her as his wife when she was 7. She was out playing with her dolls on a swing in the backyard, and Muhammad showed up at his house and said, "I'm ready to consummate my marriage with Aisha." So you will see girls named Aisha, and they usually have Muslim backgrounds. That was Muhammad's wife, Aisha. Aisha. Now, Isha is different than Aisha, okay? But that was Muhammad's youngest wife, and by the way, she gave the history of she was his favorite wife. And he died in her arms when he died. Anyway, Ibn Ishik wrote a book about Muhammad called The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishik. Now, that's the earliest history. By the way, that's the earliest form of the Quran was in existence because the Quran had been not written when he wrote that. The Quran was verbally, orally handed down. And Ibn Ishik wrote the verses down and why Muhammad got the verses. What was the subject why he got the verses? And a lot of the information that he had, Aisha's Quran was different than the other people's Quran, by the way. There were a lot of Qurans back then. Which Quran? Aisha's Quran. They found an old Quran. Now, when you find old Bibles, the first place, the old Bibles are written in what language? The Hebrew. Hebrew language in the Old Testament, and then the Greek New Testament. So you'll find them in that language. Now, all of the Quran, basically, are supposed to have been written in Arabic, but there were some very early ones written in other languages and different dialects of Arabic, because there's a gobs of Arabic languages. Gobs of dialects of Arabic. And they call it pure Arabic. What is pure Arabic? They found an old Arabic, the oldest Arabic Quran, and they won't let anybody see it. Why? When you find an old Bible, you dissect it, don't you? You dissect that thing and you find out what family of manuscripts it came from what different ones. And you can do that in the Bible. Because there are variant readings in the Bible and you'll find them according to manuscripts. That's what you call textual criticism. And they tear the Bible apart. But they won't let them look at that because the Quran is supposed to be a holy book with no mistakes in it at all. Now, the Bible doesn't have any mistakes in it. But as they copied it, you can find the different families of the Bible. They might. The oldest book of Mark ever found was in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it didn't have epitaphs in it. Later on, now that's probably the old, probably one of the oldest New Testament books is the Gospel of Mark. Okay? And it has, the later ones have Ephesus, because down there at Tiberias, down by the Sea of Galilee, the place had so changed that later on, when they wrote that, they had to specify that it was upon the land, Ephesus upon the land, because it had changed, the topography had so changed because of wars. And so they have that in, so you know the later manuscripts say that. Let's go on a little further. And the name of the one was Ada, ornament. And Wisham, and the name Hashanith of the second female, of the second wife, was Zillah. Now, Zillah means a lot of things in Hebrew. One word means a lot of things in Hebrew. One thing it means is darkness. And it also means death. And it means the shadow of death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is what Zillah means. It means to hide, to screen, and to cover, to be hidden. In the Greek language, it's like the apocalypse. Apocalypse means to hide. Apocalypse means to uncover. So this woman has hidden things, hidden secrets. I'll go on a little further now. 4 and verse 20. Wateled, Ada, et Yabal, Hu, Haya, Avi, Yoshev, Ohel, Yumekne. Now, and he brought forth, and she brought forth, third person feminine singular, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect, Ada, a nomad. Jabel means to move, to flow with violence, to move violently. Have you ever seen someone that every movement they made was a movement of violence? How many of you ever watched Charles Manson? Now, there's a violent man. His eyes emanate violence. I had dinner with him one time. Charles Manson. And I watched him as my dad and I ate dinner. We were at the Ranch House Cafe in Olathe. You remember going by the Ranch House Cafe up there, brother? We were sitting over there against the wall, and he was sitting out there and with his back where he could see everything. And he was looking around always with those violent eyes. My dad said, look at that thing. Look at that thing. Oh, he was wild looking. He was a wild man. Now, that man would be the author of murder, wouldn't he? I mean, murder that was not even incited in any way. He loved to kill people, and he loved to pull strings. Like the godfather of evil. Pulling strings to have people killed. This is what we have here. Moving with violence. The noble man with violence. I remember when Bill Clinton said that Islam is a peaceful religion. And I remember when George Bush said Islam is a peaceful religion. I remember when his Secretary of State said Islam is a peaceful religion. Now, we've been told that, haven't we? Islam moves with violence. Moves violence. Mm-hmm. If you want to really understand Islam, read The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. Now, that's a pro-Islamic book. It's a pro-Islamic book. But the author of that is the author of this. You understand? The author of that violence is the author of this. Now, these people were wiped out in the flood, weren't they? They were wiped out in the flood, but that evil inspiration lived on.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it in Canaan, and the Canaanites. And the Canaanites today from that land are what? Islam. That's where they came from, in that land. They ruled that land. We were studying, I think it was Wednesday night, up there in Fish Lake Valley. I went to the Bible study up there. I preached and then I went there, I think. That's how I did that. And he was talking about the seven churches of Asia. Mm-hmm. And how the seven churches of Asia, you know, that's prophecy, isn't it? That's mm-hmm. prophecy. The seven churches of Asia is from Ephesus on to Laodicea. Ephesus means relaxed. And he was talking about that, and he said, in those countries today, there are no churches of the Lord Jesus Christ at all. Why aren't there any churches there? The Ottoman Empire, basically, they killed millions of Christians. The Islamic world went in there and took over this area where all the churches of Asia were, where the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached and rejected. Where the gospel of Jesus Christ has been rejected, you have demonic activity, people.
Mm-hmm.
You have demons. Because the people that rejected are demonic. They're led by Satan. By millions and millions of people died in these countries. All the seven churches of Asia are all now Islamic. Islam. Violence. Jubal. Flowing with violence. And he became Avi, say Avi.
Mm-hmm.
Avi means the father of Yosheb. Yosheb means dwellers, sitting. In Ohel, Ohel is tents, sitting in tents. Those people that sit in tents. People that sit in tents. And Umikne, that means shepherds. 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 Now we have this nomadic people. How did this bunch start? With murder, didn't they? Why did they go into this land? Because the father of all of it had committed murder. Wisham, 421. Akiv. Yubal, or Yaval. Hu. Haya. Avi. Kal. Katofesh. Kenor. We Ugav. And name of his brother, Jubal. And he became father of everyone seizing. Seizing a guitar, a stringed instrument. Now, in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, what does it tell us about the old person Lucifer? What about Lucifer? Hallel. What did he do? What was his part?
He was a choir leader.
Now, Brother Ray, has God ever inspired you to say something when you were up preaching from His Word? Has He ever kind of given you something from your heart that you never saw before while you're right up there preaching?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Yeah. If you've done it very much, you have. Who do you think is doing that? That's the Holy Spirit. Now. Does the spirits of evil, we have comforting spirits from the Lord, and we have evil spirits going out and leading people. Where do you think Muhammad got his ideas? Didn't fall out of the sky, and this fall in his head, it was designed. That's been the most successful false religion in the world. Has it not? The largest religion in the world today is Islam. And then the second one is Christianity. That's what they say. But how much of Christendom is actually Christianity?
Yep.
They lump the Jehovah Witness, the Mormons, Christian Science, all of these people into what they call Christianity. Christians. Yes, brother.
In Revelation, it talks about the harlot.
Yes.
And I've always kind of correlated that with the Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be the Muslims instead?
That's right. She is a great harlot. She was birthed by Catholicism. Muhammad made no success as a prophet. Did you know that? In Mecca, he was totally unsuccessful as a prophet. But he left there, and he made a treaty with 3 to 4 Jewish tribes. And the treaty, they say, is the first written treaty, covenant, about anything. He went into this area, which is, we have Mecca over there, and we have Medina over here.
Mm-hmm.
He went in that area. Now, there was a lot of date trees in there. The Jews had planted, they had lived there for many, many years. They had run from the land of Israel into that area, and they had become date farmers, and they also were traders and dealers and traders in all types of goods. And there's quite a trade route through there. Well, Muhammad, his family had decided to kill him because he was too much trouble. He was a problem child. The Quraysh, his tribe, decided to kill him. Some of his students had already gone down into Yemen. And they'd gone down there into what they called a Christian king down there. And when they went down there, they saw Mary. And by the way, what period of time in church history did all this take place?
570.
Okay, 570 A.D. is right up here. Popery is already established, isn't it? They're already making converts by the sword, aren't they? The Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they're going out there and they're purging. And already we have martyrs here among the Baptists. About 300 and, well, more than that, about 500, 600 years of it. Of martyrs. About 600 to 700 years of martyrdom. Why? Because the established church and state are killing these people off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Islam does not understand anything except church and state. Because church to them, religion to them, is also government.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they get that idea? Mm-hmm. Constantine married the church to the state. That's 325 A.D. Now we already got almost 400 years of this. Already. They've killed hundreds and thousands of Baptist true Christians. Now also during this period of time we have Gnostics, don't we? We have Gnostics. We have people that don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, Muhammad, they say he could not read and write. Brother Ray, during this period of time, how many Bibles were in existence? Were they plentiful like it is today?
No.
A lot of people didn't even know how to read and write. in the Islam, in what we call the Arab world, they were illiterate. We're talking about the sources of all of this. In the Arab world, they were tribes made up of tribes, the Quraysh, with the ones that ruled Mecca. They were the ones that ruled Mecca. Now, they say when Muhammad's mother, when he was born, now, as far as we know, she probably had epilepsy. And she suffered from epilepsy. His father died before he was born. But they were from a very rich family. And the family took care of each other. Now, Islam history tells us that Muhammad was born an orphan, and of his father, and that his uncles took over, but that his mother gave him to Bedouins that were sheep herders to raise. Now, let's figure this out. Rebecca. Go back to the biblical person, Rebecca. What does Rebecca mean?
Rebecca?
What does Rebecca mean? You remember what Rebecca means? What?
Is it beauty?
No, Sharon. It means somebody's hogtied. It means to be so beautiful that you capture. The word Rebecca means to halter something. That those people looked at her were haltered with her beauty. She was probably a red-haired girl because Esau, you know, we have Esau. And we also have a Laban. And Laban had red hair, which turned white, and he became white, named Whitey. Okay? Well, did their mothers raise them? Did their mothers actually suckle them, breastfeed them? If you were rich, did the mother breastfeed the child? No. No. They hired that. And they had what they call wet nurses. Rebecca, when she got married, she still had her wet nurse, and she was still nursing her wet nurse. When she and her wet nurse went with her, and it tells us in the Bible when she died and where she was buried and all of that. The Pharaohs were suckled by wet nurses. And many times a wet nurse was buried with a Pharaoh. Now, to go back, only the rich could afford that. Only the rich could afford that. Now, Muhammad had a wet nurse. And he went out into this tribe, into these. Now, the whole story is in Ibn Ishaq's story, The Life of Muhammad, that this person could not afford anything, you know, that she couldn't afford a rich wet nurse. She gave them to these poor Bedouins to take him out there away from Mecca, so he wouldn't get the diseases that were in Mecca and all this business, which is all make-believe. This woman was a wet nurse. She hired herself out to him. Now, according to Islam, Muhammad never did any miracles. Did you hear that before? He was not royal born. He had did no miracles or anything like this. But if you read Ibn Ishaq's book, you'll see that his life was just covered by legendary miracles that they have conveniently left out. Now, does the devil do miracles? What happened in Egypt? We have the 10 plagues, don't we? But in the very beginning of that, when Jannes and Jambres threw their rods down, what did they become? Dragons. Who did that? Satan. But we have the powers of Satan against the powers of God, and God won out, didn't he? Now, according to legend, this woman that took Muhammad as her child, suckled him, that when they started out, their sheep were skinny, their goats were skinny, and their cows were just starving to death and skinny. But after they took him, then all of them got fat, and they gave more milk and cheese than any of the other animals. Anywhere. They became the fattest of all of the fat. Now, whether that's true or not, we do not know. It's legend, but that goes back to the earliest portion. But Muhammad was raised by a wet nurse. When he was given back to his mother when he was about 5 or 6 years old. And then she died. And his uncle took him, and his uncle was a rich trader. Now, can you imagine them not sharing that wealth with that woman and that tribe? No. That would be against tradition. Well, then his grandfather died, and then his uncle took over. And there we have the story when Muhammad was sent out as a traitor, and he went into Damascus. And at that period of time, Damascus was what, Brother Ray? The center of Christianity. Preaching. That church in Damascus was very powerful. And by the way, I've been in that church house in Damascus, Syria, where the Apostle Paul was baptized. I stayed 9 days in Damascus, Syria. I saw all kinds of stuff, the street called Straight, where the Apostle Paul was supposed to be laid down in a basket over the wall. Christianity was on fire there. And Christendom and what else? Gnosticism. Now, a lie will get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. And the people of this world would rather believe a lie or something false than the truth one day. Guess what Muhammad took up with? What did he take up with? Gnosticism and the lies. Not only Gnosticism, but he copied from Catholicism what he wanted, and that was conquering by the sword. Now here we have the beginning of all of this. We have the imitation of, we're going to see the source of all of violence in religion right here. And the name of his brother, Jubal. And he became the father of all of those plucking stringed instruments. Why, that piano is even a stringed instrument, isn't it? You pluck it with keys. And a guitar, and a violin. All of these, banjos, everything, are all stringed instruments. Now, we find out from the book of Enoch that these people began to worship Satan with music and sound. They were music. Now, in the world today, we had some of the greatest idols and icons in American history are musicians, aren't they? And most of it is not good, is it? Huh? Not very good. Musicians, by the way, musicians usually can't make a living. They got to have a daytime job, don't they? They have to have a day job. Unless you're some Ozzy Osbourne or some of these big idols, all of this. Remember when I preached on, a long time ago, I preached on rock music. Remember that, Brother Ray?
Mm-hmm.
I did a revival on rock music. And we played things, and, you know, we played records backwards. We did all kinds of stuff in that little deal. One more brick in the wall. All this kind of stuff. Some of this music, you can hear it in the elevator music now. Some of this classics. Some of these are instrumental classics. But how it began, how music began in the human race. Now, people were evidently worshiping God, weren't they? But now these are the worshipers of Satan. And you go to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and you find out with the inspiration where they got it. With a liar, that means anything that's got a strings in it. By the way, the courtesans of old, this is when the oldest profession in the world began too, right here. Prostitution. Prostitutes were actresses and musicians. What was the most famous Jewish prostitute and courtesan that became an American idol?
Yeah.
What?
Sarah Bernhardt.
She was trained as a prostitute and a musician and as an actress. The Jewish actresses courted the kings of Europe. Sarah Bernhardt supposedly had a child by one of the kings. Her mother trained her to be a prostitute. Now the geisha girls of Japan, they are educated in politics and in science and music, and they perform and they act and the rich men, the politicians, will have their geisha girls of Japan with them. And they're trained in political science and everything. And we have one in the Bible, a very famous girl in the Bible. She became a Christian. She was a courtesan. What was her name? Mary Magdalene. She was very wealthy, wasn't she? Very wealthy. There were two Marys in the Bible that anointed Jesus' feet with oil, very precious oils, and dried his feet with the hair of their heads and the tears in their eyes. Those were both Marys. One of them was a rich prostitute that gave up her line of work. All of this begins right here. And the pipe. Now the pipe is like a bagpipe. It's a wind instrument. All of these instruments that make music with a reed, a whistle. All of this. This is where it all begins right here. Wind instruments. Cain's descendants were very creative and inventors and workmen with their hands. Now, Arthur Custance, Noah's three sons, you can read about this there also. Now, let's go to 422. Wetzelah, Gom,
Hugh,
Yeled, Yeledah, that is. Et, Tuval, Cain, Lotesh, Kal, Choresh, Nichasheth, Yuvarzel, Wachoth, Tuval, Cain, Naamah. And Zillah, and remember what her name means? Dark, hidden, to hide, to put a screen over, to cover. Also, we have a little cumulative particle there, Gom. And she had brought forth, literally, third person feminine singular, Cal perfect. She had brought forth a tubal Cain. And that means flowing from Cain. Flowing from Cain. Flowing from Cain. A hammerer, a blacksmith, a sharpener. Now, why would they need blacksmiths? Why would this people need blacksmiths? They were shepherds, weren't they? And it was illegal to kill any animal, wasn't it? Was it or not? To kill an animal at this period of time was a death sentence because you killed a life, a living being that was your companion. Animals weren't not given as food yet. All right? Now, what would they need a knife for? What would they need a hatchet for? What would they... These are all shepherds. Animals weren't killing each other yet. Okay? What would you need instruments of war for? Why would you need them?
Probably for humans.
Yeah. To kill other people. Yeah. To kill people. Murder. Murder Incorporated we have here. Murderers. You get A+, Vincent. A murderer. All sharp tools. Of copper and iron together is called what? brass or bronze. This is the Bronze Age. This is when they start making tools to kill people and kill animals. And sister of Tubal-Cain is Naama. Naama. Now, by the way, the Bible doesn't tell us the name of Noah's wife, but the Book of Enoch does. And her name was, or not the Book of Enoch, but the Book of Jasher, which is a history book. It tells us her name was Naaman. Or Naama from the same thing. And now her name means pleasantness or beautiful. And what it actually means, now, girls, if you're a little heavy, just a little bit overweight, mm-hmm. at this period of time, thick women were in style. Mm-hmm. Women, if they be beautiful, you had to be thick. You had to be voluptuous. You had to be fat and heavy. Because the skinny ones were probably not very healthy. Yeah. So she was thick and full and beautiful. All right, now they're gonna have a line of beautiful women here. And probably this line of beautiful women was ones attracted to those angels. Wyomer, Lamech, Lenosho, Adah, Wetzilah, Shimaon, Koli, Nishe, Lamech, Hazana, Imrate, Ki, Ish, Harati, Lefitzi, Weyelad, Li, Shab Burati. Now let's see the rest of the story, as old Hal Lafoon used to say, the rest of the story. I laid grounds for this murder, didn't I? And where it came from and where it was inspired from. And where all murderous religions are inspired from. And there's two great murderous religions in the world. Catholicism and Islam. And both of them were inspired from the same source. Murder and mayhem. And he said and kept on saying Lamech. He said and kept on saying, he sang a song. You know, songs have what, Vincent? A chorus, don't they? Yeah. Melodies and choruses. Now this is it. Now we're going to find out this music is talking about murder. This music is talking about murder. Talking about murder. Some of the old cowboy songs talk about murder. Talk about going out into the plains and running into Jesse James' gang, and he shot the men with bullets in their brains. That's one of the old melodies of mayhem and murder. And Jesse James, by the way, was a Baptist, a missionary Baptist, Southern missionary Baptist, by the way. His father had founded 5 Southern missionary Baptist churches, and they say they're still in existence today. Jesse James was a deacon. Frank James was a deacon and a preacher. Think about that. These guys, now why did they become outlaws? What's the story behind the story on that? Jesse James, their family were overrun by railroad in the north. They were forced to join the southern forces to survive. The Youngers, their father owned 7 farms. They were first cousins to the Daltons and related to the James. All these boys were Southern boys. They all joined the army. They went into Quantrell's guerrilla warfare. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, so Quantrell was not one, I don't think he was as bad as Sherman in any way. Mm-hmm. Sherman was a murdering rascal. We had a bad war there between brothers on this land. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people died on both sides. They were related. When those boys finally, the war was over, they couldn't find a job. Jesse James and all of them came all the way out to California. Did you know that? Youngers? Daltons? First train the Daltons robbed was up there in Pixley. They were a little wilder side. Now, the Daltons, the Youngers and the Daltons, their mothers were sisters. So these are all cousins. And the Youngers were God-fearing people. They were God-fearing people. They had nothing to do with the Jesse James gang nor the Dalton gangs. But their father was robbed and murdered and $7,500 taken off of his person. They stole every bit of livestock off of all seven farms and incorporated them into the Union Army. Now, they were northern sympathizers. But after all this happened, they went and they fought side by side with the Daltons and the Youngers with Quantrill. And after the war was over, they couldn't, there was no peace for them. You ever seen the movie, The Outlaw Josie Wells? That was very true. You can put Josie Wells of the Daltons, the Youngers, and the James gang. Now, it is said by the James family that Jesse James was not killed, that he killed his cousin and buried himself. You can read all about that. Jesse James was the treasurer of the Knights of the Golden Circle. They were going to start another country someplace else in Cuba or South America. And the Youngers were going to go do the same thing, and they decided to rob the bank that had all their father's money. And that was the first robbery they ever did, and it was unsuccessful because they weren't very good robbers. And they were thrown in prison. And then when the leader of the Youngers, so it's called, Cole Younger, when he got out of prison, guess what he did? He went right back to preaching. He came all the way out here to California and was in Los Angeles preaching up and down the circuits all along, a believer and a brick mason and a person of the Knights of the Golden Circle.
He was up at LeBec.
Yes, that's right. He was up at LeBec.
When your mother talked to him.
Yep. That's a little bit of history, okay? Violence. And Adah and Zillah, he said, "Hear my voice, hear my sound, hear my speech, hear my songs." And he composes a song of violence with the wind instruments and the guitars, the stringed instruments. Wise Elimelech, listen to my speech. Because men I slay. I have slain. Men I have slain. First person construct, singular, cow perfect. For my wound, they wounded me and I killed them. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Except now he's killed two of them and he's proud of it. Young men, young children, for my scar, for my hurt, for my stripe. This is a bold song of a bad man, an outlaw. This is it. The songs of outlaws. In delight and pleasure in murder. Taking delight and pleasure in murder. Muhammad killed hundreds of people at a time. Sometimes they had women torn apart. This is what we call drawn and quartered. Later on in history and Catholicism, we'll see them doing the same thing. These are kissing cousins, people. Kissing cousins and violence and murder. We have recorded in the Bible war songs later on, don't we? But this is the first war song. This is the first song of murder right here. I listen, my wives, listen to what I say. I am a murderer. And I'm proud of it. I took great pleasure in it. Watch out for me because I kill men for pleasure. I kill men for pleasure. We had outlaws, didn't we? while we have a song of Moses in Exodus 15, 1 through 19 and 21, we have Moses' prophetic song in Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 43, we have Deborah and Barak in Judges 5, 2 through 31, we have Samson's song in Judges 15 and 16, we have Hannah's song in 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10. We have David's song of the bowl in 2 Samuel 1, 19 through 27. We have David's song about Abner in 2 Samuel 3, 33 through 34. We have David's thanksgiving, 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 26. Hezekiah's thanksgiving in 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 26. Hezekiah's, that is, Isaiah 38, 10 through 20. And then Jonah's song in Jonah 2, 2 through 9. Habakkuk's song, Habakkuk 3, 2 through 19. And we have Christian songs in the New Testament, and they're not talking about murder, are they? In Luke 1, 48 through 55, and Zechariah in Luke 1, 68 through 79, in Luke 2, 29 through 32, and Paul in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and Ephesians 5 and 14. These are early Christian hymns. And they're not talking about murder, are they? Is Christianity a religion of murder or a religion of peace? It'll give peace to the soul of murderers and outlaws. It will. Some people have been forced into lives of crime, like the Youngers and the James. And the Daltons were a little rough to begin with. Some people were forced to live that way. Forced to live that way. But they wanted peace. All of them wanted peace. Jesse James, they say, finally had peace. He lived to be about 1930-something. Died of old age. Cole Younger. Frank James. All these people wanted peace. They didn't want to fight. They were true Christians in their hearts. They didn't want to fight. Brother Ray, you remember when you were a little gangster? Were you ever free of fear?
No, we always fear something.
You're always afraid. You're always afraid that something you did was going to follow you.
I never wanted to wake up Saturday morning because I found out that I did something.
Yeah.
Or somebody was coming after
yeah.
me.
That you had got drunk and gone out and hurt somebody or killed somebody and then they would come after you. That's a life of mayhem. Isn't it grace, peace now that you go to sleep and not worry about somebody knocking at your door, slipping under the door after you?
Mm-hmm.
I lived with violence so long in my life, not on my accord.
I do that right now.
Yeah. It is so good to go to sleep and not expect somebody looking through the window with a gun or trying to poison you or something. Peace. God gives us peace, not violence. False religion always gives you violence. Songs of bold, wild men. Men were not allowed to kill each other, and they were not allowed to kill animals. These tools were all invented for murder and killing. Murder and killing. We went from 4:18. Was that 18 where we started?
Yeah.
4:18 through 23.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any questions? Have any questions about any of this? Did you learn something?
Yeah, a lot of items to these people.
Yeah. Boy, what an enlightenment.
It's been going down from generation to generation.
That's right. And where did it all begin? With false religion.
Mm-hmm.
Cain was the first persecutor, the first leader of false religion.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way down, we see it, and we see it's added to his son. Yes, Sharon.
Well, here, when he's talking and bragging about killing this young man, will it have to be his...
They're his relatives.
He's
killing his relatives. Cain killed Abel, his brother, twin brother. Can you imagine killing your twin, Marilyn?
No.
But they did. No, your twin's supposed to be very precious to you.
He was like my left arm.
Yep.
And I was like a right arm.
But these people were different, weren't they? They're wicked. Now, if you're out there in the world, or a few here, but this message is going all over the world. Have you lived in all of this in your life? Have you lived in this violence? Do you want peace for your heart? Do you? You can have peace in Jesus. Why? All religions, all Protestant religions are church and state, aren't they? That's what they understand. Except Baptist. Separation of church and state. But boy, they're trying to cram it back down our throats, even in politics, aren't they? The leaders, the what we call the evangelical, the church and state should not be separate. That's a misnomer. I'm going to tell you something. Baptists died for nearly 2,000 years over that premise, separation of church and state. Wherever you are, come to the truth. Wherever you are, come to peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Vincent, what song do we have?
Hymn
89.
We're going to sing the third verse.
The third verse, hymn 89. What do you need? Jesus can provide. Thank you for your word tonight. We pray that it enlightens people all over the world and those here that will be a treasure and a light to their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.